Item six. My appreciation to those folks for enduring it, but good to clear the room, you know? Let me get down to business. All right. Where am I at? All right. This is the time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider proposed waste discharge requirement order number R1-2008-0002 for UC Davis Bodega Marine Laboratory. This item has been properly noticed. Sheet explaining procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Of all those who expect to give testimony in this matter, please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm you will tell the truth in this matter? We will begin with staff presentation. Mr. Reed.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Charles Reed. I'm a staff engineer with the Water Board, and I'd like to enter the file into the record. Item number six is a public hearing to consider waste discharge requirements for the UC Bodega Marine Laboratory. This permit will serve as an NPDES permit for the next 5 years. I'll be covering the following points in my presentation. I'll be giving you an overview of the facility. I'll discuss the regulatory requirements particular to the Bodega Marine Lab. I'll also describe the seawater and wastewater systems, as well as the stormwater discharges associated with this facility. I'll also identify significant requests by the discharger. First of all, to orient the board as to the general location of the Bodega Marine Lab, this slide shows the Bodega Marine Lab approximately 35 miles to the southwest of Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. This slide provides a little more detail. The Marine Lab is situated in a 362-acre reserve that includes the laboratory, a housing enclave, as well as sand dunes, coastal bluffs, freshwater wetlands, and coastal scrub habitats. Mussel Point, at the top of the slide, is considered pristine coastal habitat and is to be used as a background water quality reference point in this permit. The Bodega Marine Laboratory is a research and education facility serving the needs of graduate and undergraduate students, independent researchers, public agencies, and the general public through educational programs, tours, and seminars, all under the auspices of the University of California, Davis. In fulfilling its mission, the Marine Lab requires both seawater and freshwater to support marine life used in its laboratories. This permit regulates discharges of wastewater from its flow-through seawater system that discharges to the ocean, regulates the freshwater system associated with the salmon research facility, which discharges to a groundwater recharge area. This permit also regulates stormwater discharges from the laboratory grounds into a freshwater marsh and stormwater discharges from the freshwater marsh to the ocean. The Bodega Marine Laboratory also maintains housing accommodations for seasonal staff and visiting students and scientists. Domestic waste from these housing facilities are discharged to two standard septic leach field systems that are regulated under a separate discharge permit. The seawater used in the lab and stormwater from the freshwater marsh both discharge to the Pacific Ocean and into the Bodega State Reserve, which is a designated area of special biological significance, also known as an ASBS. Because the ASBS plays such an important role in this permit, I thought I'd take some time to go over the ASBS program very briefly. The concept of special biological significance recognizes that certain biological communities, because of their value or fragility, deserve very special protection that consists of preservation and maintenance of natural water quality conditions. There are 34 ASBSs throughout the state that were designated in the California Ocean Plan in the mid-1970s. 8 of these ASBSs are located within the North Coast region and are identified in this figure. Only 2 of these in the North Coast region have point waste discharges from currently permitted facilities. The Shelter Cove Wastewater Treatment Plant discharges to the Kings Range ASBS, and the subject of this permit, the Bodega Marine Laboratory, discharges to the Bodega State Reserve. Consistent with the State Water Board's mission to preserve, enhance, and restore the quality of California's water resources, the Ocean Plan has contained since 1983 a prohibition of discharges of waste to areas of special biological significance. In the Ocean Plan reads, waste shall not be discharged to areas designated as being of special biological significance. Discharges shall be located a sufficient distance from such designated areas to assure maintenance of natural water quality conditions in those areas. Now, this is an absolute prohibition unless the State Board grants an exception. The Bodega Marine Laboratory submitted an exception application to the State Water Board on January 31st, 2005. The State Water Board adopted resolution number 2007-0058, granting the exception in a public hearing on September 18th, 2007. This resolution contained numerous terms and conditions that the Bodega Marine Lab must satisfy. These conditions have been included in the draft NPDES permit that's before you today. A copy of this resolution is included at the end of your permit package. The resolution and the draft permit require the Bodega Marine Lab to develop a stormwater management plan that addresses the prohibition of non-stormwater discharges and the reduction of pollutants in stormwater discharges to the ASBS and from the freshwater marsh. The permit also requires the discharger to perform a quantitative survey of intertidal benthic life near the discharge point and the reference point once in the permit term. The discharger must also perform a bioaccumulation study using California mussels near the discharge point and reference site once during the permit term. The discharger must also develop and implement a program to prevent the discharge of biological pollutants from the seawater system to the ASBS. And the discharger must also prepare a waterfront and marine operations non-point source management plan. As required by the resolution 2007-0058, the draft NPDES permit also requires extensive monitoring of discharges to the ASBS and receiving water monitoring to assess the impact of waste discharges on the ASBS. Among the requirements is a requirement to monitor both seawater influent and effluent to demonstrate that the discharge does not contain pollutants in excess of concentrations in the intake water. There's a requirement to sample the waste seawater effluent and the reference station twice in the first year of the permit and annually thereafter for table B constituents, pH, salinity, and temperature. There's a requirement for the discharger to monitor stormwater runoff and Horseshoe Cove receiving water once annually for table B parameters and ocean plan indicator bacteria. The discharger must sample subtidal sediment in Horseshoe Cove annually for table B constituents and must sample at Mussel Point, the Mussel Point reference station, twice during the first year of the permit and annually thereafter for table B constituents, pH, salinity, and temperature. And the point of this is that there's a considerable amount of monitoring involved in this permit. The Bodega Marine Laboratory discharges some wastes that are not regulated by the ocean plan, but are subject to regulation under other federal or state authorities. For instance, the freshwater intake and effluent from the salmon research facility are monitored to prevent degradation of existing groundwater quality in the vicinity of the groundwater recharge area. Stormwater runoff from the grounds of the facility to the freshwater marsh is regulated in a manner similar to the industrial stormwater permit, relying on best management practices to minimize the discharge of stormwater-related pollutants to the freshwater marsh. The monitoring and reporting program requires stormwater discharges to be sampled twice annually and that the Marine Lab conduct visual monitoring quarterly to assess and, if necessary, improve installed BMPs. This slide is a view of the various discharge points identified in the draft order. For the seawater system, seawater is pumped from the intake at 001 and circulated through the flow-through aquarium system before being discharged to the ocean at effluent point 001. A portion of the seawater is used in two pathology laboratories to eliminate the potential to contaminate effluent from the pathology laboratories. Effluent from these two laboratories is chlorinated and dechlorinated before being commingled with the remainder of the seawater and discharged. The maximum pumping capacity of the seawater system is 1.5 million gallons per day, but the average daily flow is on the order of 600,000 gallons per day. For the freshwater system, non-potable groundwater is pumped from an on-site groundwater well and circulated through its salmon research facility. Most of this water is returned to groundwater through recharge at 002. When a project involves short-term salinity adjustment in the freshwater system, the affected effluent is added to the seawater system flow and discharged out 001. Stormwater discharges are monitored at monitoring points 003, 004, and 016, which is a culvert right here. 003 and 004 discharge to this freshwater marsh. 016 is the discharge from this culvert to Horseshoe Cove, which is part of the ASBS. Not shown in this photo is the reference station at Muscle Point, which is identified as reference 001 in the permit. We received comments on the draft permit from the Bodega Marine Laboratory and the State Water Resources Control Board. The Bodega Marine Lab made requests related to the need for acute toxicity testing and the frequency of chronic toxicity testing. As expressed in staff's response to comments, which is included in the agenda package, we were bound by requirements of the State Board resolution to include acute toxicity testing for the first year of the permit. We will review results of the first year of monitoring to determine whether continued toxicity testing is necessary. The request to eliminate dry weather chronic toxicity sampling was granted after dry weather sampling was deemed unnecessary by staff and water quality, and it was deemed not necessary by staff and not required by the State Board resolution. The Bodega Marine Lab also requested a reduction in monitoring frequency for copper, cadmium, and silver based on information related to the validity of previous test results for these pollutants. Staff agreed that the validity of these samples was in question and agreed to revise the permit to automatically reduce the monitoring frequency from quarterly to twice annually after the first year of monitoring. The Bodega Marine Lab requested relief in the way the effluent limitations for total suspended solids is interpreted. The laboratory sought to have the limit account for influent and effluent variability and method imprecision both of which it asserts results in unreasonable impression of noncompliance and an unreasonable exposure to mandatory minimum penalties for effluent violations. Regional Board staff explained that influent and effluent variability is most properly minimized through the collection of composite samples as opposed to grab samples. Accounting for the method and precision in effluent limits is a more complex issue. We met with the discharger on Tuesday and had continued discussions on this, and we agreed that over the coming months we will continue to talk and see if we can resolve this to the satisfaction of both parties and in a manner that would ensure protection of water quality. So we'll be continuing to work on this. I don't think they have objections to the permit as it stands, but we'll be working on this and probably bring some resolution back to you in the future. In addition, as a result of this meeting on Tuesday, another issue was brought to our attention that was of concern to the discharger, and that was the limits for, or the detection limits for salinity in the seawater effluent. And if I could draw your attention to and ask you to turn to page E7 of the permit, and if I could have you look at footnote 6 of table E4, and that's on E6. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I've been corrected, and we were talking about total chlorine, total residual chlorine here, not salinity. If you look at footnote 6 of this table, it requires that for continuous monitoring, the discharger use an analytical method with a reporting limit of 50 micrograms per liter. They've looked into this and determined that, and have had difficulty finding an analyzer that can reliably read total residual chlorine at that level. And I've since spoken to the state board, And they have agreed that this is an infeasible level. And in fact, the recommendation that is impending is on the level is going to be 300 micrograms per liter. So what this afternoon, as a matter of fact, we were talking with the discharger, and we've come up with some language that we are hoping to include in this permit for your consideration that will deal with this issue. Hopefully the next slide is it. Yes. This is a rewriting of footnote 6. The underlying text is what we are hoping to insert in this footnote. All the other text is the same as it was. What this will do, in essence, is allow the discharger to continue using their existing monitoring equipment with a detection level of 100 micrograms per liter, and allow them enough time, December 1st, 2008, to obtain the preferred analyzers and to set up the system in order to be able to monitor in accordance with the resolution and the remainder of this footnote. This is a technical issue. We don't believe allowing the discharger to meet the 100 micrograms per liter as a detection limit until December 1st, 2008 is going to make a significant impact on water quality. I'd also point out on another issue that also in your packet you have a document of late revisions, and we would be including that in your consideration for today in adopting the permit. We received a number of other comments from the Bodega Marine Lab, most of which were minor, and we've resolved those or made the corrections requested. We received, in addition, some comments from the State Water Resources Control Board. They were technical in nature as well, and we made those corrections to the permit. And our responses to those questions are in the document you have in your permit package.
Again, you say the document, that would be the one titled Late Revisions?
Yes, that should have been a late addition given to you. Yes, that's the one.
It contains then both comments from Bodega and the state.
Right. The Bodega Marine Lab, the first page after the yellow is the comment document from the Bodega Marine Laboratory. And if you look through, they had a table in there of approximately exactly 80 comments. And most of those were typos or corrections or requests for clarifications, and most of those were minor, and we've went ahead and made those changes. Some of the comments that were more substantive, we took the time to individually respond to, and that's what is in our comment page following their comments and the comments from the State Board.
So the letter from January 25, this table of, what do you say, 80 things have been incorporated in the yellow pages previously.
Right. And
there were some additional ones that got caught and brought to us as late revisions.
Right. And they were all fairly insignificant typographical errors, omissions that we corrected.
All right.
That is going to conclude my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Board member questions? Mr. Corbett.
I just had one on the agenda item 6 comment from the State Water Resource Control Board. Were those comments also incorporated in the yellow sheet?
Yes, okay. Yes, they were.
No.
Yeah, we make sure we address the State Board's comments on these permits.
All right.
But the State Board comments are ones you referred to as email business?
We got on agenda item 6. And I guess just clarifying.
But your question was, were they in the yellow? They're in the green, is my understanding. Right?
The State Board's comments were sent to us in an email from Connie Anderson on January 25th. Those were addressed directly in our response to comments, not the late revisions. The late revisions.
In your regular response.
In the regular response. The late revisions only deal with the changes that were necessary after the agenda was received by you.
Board Member Anderson, I just have a question for Charles regarding the continued working with the Bodega Marine Lab to address the issues regarding the suspended solids effluent limitations. Would you have to come back to this board to get some sort of approval if you made changes, or?
Yes, we think we will have to come back and open the permit and fully explain what we're doing. It's going to be a more novel approach to an effluent limit. This is a fairly unusual circumstance. We don't have many dischargers in our region that recycle seawater. So we're trying to accommodate their justifiable concern about the method variability and the impact on compliance.
So it could actually be a change to the effluent limit and not just to the monitoring. The way monitoring is done. We're not sure at this point.
I think it would be a change in the effluent limit.
Okay.
And we will bring that back to you when we resolve it. I believe the Bodega Marine Lab may explain more what they're planning to do, but I think they'll be doing some sampling to determine what the level of, what the degree of imprecision is in their monitoring of this constituent.
Okay. Two speaker cards. If you want to come together or individually. Tony Garvin and Gary Cheer, Chair.
Good afternoon. My name is Tony Garvin. I'm University Counsel for the University of California in the Office of the President, but given the lateness of the hour and the tired looks on everyone, I will...
Not up here.
I'll reserve any remarks in case there might be any questions on legal issues, and just introduce Dr. Gary Cheer, the acting director of the lab, who will explain the issues and also give a little more background on the lab.
Thank you. I want to thank the board for allowing us the time to present today. And I'm Gary Cheer, interim director of the Bodega Marine Lab. And what I want to do is just mention briefly, I'll try to be as brief as I can, about a little bit more detail about our operation, who we are, what we do, and also hopefully address this suspended solids issue, which was just brought up by the staff. So the Bodega Marine Lab, as you've heard, is UC Davis's organized research unit, and our mission is research, training, and public service, and we were involved in many different complex environmental problems on the North Coast. There's numerous scientists from all over the world and all over California that utilize the lab, numerous publications, education in terms of classes as well as the public and visitors. And we just wanted to point out that we serve a number of agencies, both federal and state, including the regional board as well, in terms of our research and different projects we've been involved with over the years, over 40 years of existence. So the two issues today that we wanted to just bring out in the public record, the first is the issue of determination of total suspended solids, TSS, and the second issue, which I think Charles just addressed, was the implementation of the chlorine monitoring is something that essentially has already been resolved. So I will only spend just a few seconds on that. But the issue for this total suspended solids is unique in that, well, first of all, the Marine Lab discharges seawater, as you've heard. The seawater, essentially, we're not a hatchery and we're not an aquaculture facility. Really, it's the water that comes from essentially holding local species for experimentation. So we're not really generating the kind of suspended solids that you might typically see in a hatchery setting. And also, we're different than a typical MPDS-regulated entity in that rather than meeting a specific number, we're always comparing our effluent level of suspended solids to the influent level, and we have to either be at or below that level. So just so you're aware of that. And as an example, this is over a period of several years, but this is the range of influent levels of TSS from 9 milligrams per liter all the way up to 107. So this is what essentially is natural seawater situation. And here's Bodega Head, Muscle Point is out here, and this is the plume of the Russian River in March 2006. And you can see here in December of just last year, this is right in front of the lab, and we watched this plume move right down from the Russian River and come right up against Bodega Head. So the point here is that there's a lot of variability of just natural suspended solids that occurs seasonally. And so we're dealing with that all the time, and hence that's why the permit was written the way it was. So since August of 2004, we've had 6 exceedances in total suspended solids, and this is the difference in all of those, so ranging from 1 to the maximum of 5 milligrams per liter. And the point that we wanted to bring forward was that the standard method, which reports measurement error, about a 30% coefficient of variation, and in our range of TSS, that's really ranging between 5 and 24 milligrams per liter. And to illustrate this, this is shown here. This is from our greatest exceedance, which was the 5 milligrams per liter on the day in September, where the influent was 15 milligrams per liter and the effluent was 20. And again, should note what these levels are often like when we have exceedances. They're very low TSS levels. And if you take into account then the type of variability just based on the published information in the standard method, which is about this 30% coefficient of variation, this is what these error bars would look like. So the issue here is that rather than taking a single sample of influent and a single sample of effluent and comparing them and saying they're different, what we're putting forth, rather, is to propose to conduct replicate analyses on the influent and effluent samples and then do a statistical test to see if, in fact, there's a difference between influent and effluent. And this is analogous to what's done in a no-effect concentration chronic toxicity test, where you would never take the values from just a single replicate. You need to have 3 to 5 replicates to be able to do a statistical t-test to say that, in fact, these are truly different, not that they just appear to be different. So what we would like to do is propose over the next period of time, 6 months to a year, is working with the regional board staff as well as state board staff, is actually start collecting data, conducting this, and then be able to have a data set so we can bring this up in front of, come back to you at some point to show you what kind of data we have. And we really don't know what the results are going to be, but we suspect, based on the error method that's published in the protocol, that we expect this kind of variability will make a difference.
So if I could just elaborate a little more. So what we would be coming back to the board for, at the moment, the effluent limits in the permit provide that our effluent cannot exceed the influent concentration. And so what we would be asking for is a delta based on the statistical variation in order to determine whether we are, in fact, exceeding our influent concentration. And so that's different than the standard effluent limits in other permits, you know, which is just a flat number that you cannot exceed. And I think Gary's explained why we don't have a flat number is because there's all this variability.
Can you get to that point where the effluent is no delta over the influent? I mean, I would assume that there has to be some.
Well,
as it passes through, it's going to.
There's going to be variability. I mean, typically now the way things have been conducted. Recently, in the last 4 years, we've had essentially no exceedances. So we're typically below that, but we're very close. And so the difference between 15 to 18, 15 to 17, right, which could send us into exceedance, we feel that that's probably within the error range of the actual method itself. So by every time we sample monthly, if we use these replicates, we can do a statistical test to find out whether those are really truly different from each other.
I think you might also mention that you installed a clarifier back in 2004, 2005.
Right. So the clarifier essentially clarifies or removes suspended solids from our influent. The original purpose of that was for the health of the marine life within the lab. But, of course, at the same time, it also reduces our total suspended solids overall. And since the installation of that, we haven't had any, or essentially no.
On the other side, can you get to the point where you can't clarify the influent because of the types of research and study? I mean, you're trying to replicate ocean conditions,
yeah.
So.
That's right. So from an experimental standpoint, that would be something that would be desirable. We do have the capability of, if researchers want to use that, they can take those solids and actually use them in experiments in static situation. But that's something that we would never discharge through the effluent. So a number of the research projects actually use static systems that are not going into the effluent. So as far as the chlorine monitoring, again, I'm just going to go very briefly through this, but just to point out that we house the state of California's Cal Fish and Game Shellfish Pathogen Research Facility. It's the only one in the state of California. And also we have the endangered coho, Russian River coho salmon, and there's disease work going on there. So that's the purpose of our chlorination, dechlorination, and it's about 15% of our effluent, give or take. And again, I think Charles already summed it up, so I don't want to really spend any time talking about this. We're pleased that we can work together with the regional board staff on implementing this new chlorine sensor technology. And so, I think I'll stop there at this point. and just say that the suspended solids, we look forward to working with the staff on this, because we think it's an important issue, and we think not only for us, but as in other regions, as other dischargers and marine labs that discharge into ASBSs will be regulated, we're kind of a guinea pig. They're going to need to also be doing the same kind of approach.
All right.
So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Board member comments, questions? So we're the staff, then we're taking action today and anticipate having had so much fun on this one, we get to do it over again?
Only on a small part.
Oh, all right.
That's fine.
Yeah, we would only reopen that portion of the permit.
Mr. Chair, I would give you a motion to adopt the permit.
I'll second it.
This is Kim Niemeyer, staff counsel. Is your motion with the proposed changes that were added today? Because they are different than what's in
there. That would be with the proposed changes and understanding that we will get a future amendment.
I seconded it. I don't know if you got that.
Any comments, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All day for that.
And it's
there's good food between here and there.
Okay.